Good afternoon. Today is Friday, June the 7th, 157th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, in person, Eureka City Manager Bill Panos.
Good afternoon.
Nice to see you.
Thank you very much.
Notice my emphasis.
It's nice to see you as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, at least the show clarity will be there a little bit more. You dared to bring in notes. Ha! We'll see how far I can get him astray off of his notes. We got budget. We got updates from about the police chief. Also, we've got, I would imagine, a couple of comments about Humble Bay Fire extending into the North Bay. Very cool stuff going on there. So we'll find out what's keeping him awake at night when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon. KINS News and Information Time is 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with the leader of the city of Eureka, Bill Panos. You're not going to say it's the city council and step back?
Well, the council does lead the...
Or have I bored you so much you're already asleep here?
No.
The council.
The council is a great leadership team for the city of Eureka.
You know, if I have to prompt you on the compliments, this is going to be a really long show. Our quote this afternoon comes from Kierkegaard, Soren Kierkegaard, Danish philosopher, who died about 150 years ago. Quote, during the first period of a man's life, the danger is not to take the risk.
It's excellent.
Yeah. So what risk-taking maneuvers have you done so far this week, other than showing up for this show?
Well, that was risky, but the... We avoid risk. We try and mitigate risk. We help the community avoid as much risk as possible, especially when we're doing budgets and things like that.
Oh, that's, you had it all teed up, especially when you're doing talk shows. You could have put that in. That would have been smooth as silk. No, budget, huh? What was the overriding philosophy, Bill? I mean, with the budget, with the state is screwed up. What's screwed up as a Christmas goose? You've got a very suggestive, strong economic year that they're basing their budget off of. Okay. You've got realignment that the feds are saying you still got to kick another 25% out of the state prisons. Yeah. Boy, that'll go over real well in hometown USA. But the impacts of the current realignment. You've got a treading water economy at best locally. Some of the different challenges that are out there that we're running into. How do you wrap all that stuff together, look at a budget and go, okay, this is what next year is going to look like. Thank you very much. How do you do that?
Well, we have a lot of really talented people at the city that work together as a team to come up with recommendations for the council, and the council helps us weigh into that. And on the 11th and 13th of this month, that's Tuesday and Thursday of next week, we're going to have community meetings so that the community can weigh in on this. And so we really try and gather as much data as we can and as much opinion as we can. And do the best that we can to plan for next year and then make adjustments throughout the year. But, you know, you said something about the economy is sort of better than it has been or certainly.
That's the reports we're hearing regionally as well as nationally.
And I would describe it as beginning a slow recovery. I don't think we're going to see anything abrupt, see anything dramatic over the next few years. I think we're going to have a slow, long recovery, and I think that we should be prepared for that as we go forward. This particular budget, our 13-14 budget for the city of Eureka, is really about finishing what we started, leaning forward into the future, focusing on our future, and building the capacity to accomplish the city council's goals. And this year, probably more than any year that we can remember, the council did a comprehensive look at what it is the city should be working on, our strategy, and put it together into an action plan. And so we took that action plan, we merged the budget with that action plan, and so we're funding those things that the council sees as being a high priority for us.
What are their priorities?
Sure. I've got 22 of them listed here.
Okay. Give me the top two.
Yeah. One of them is preparing for Measure O. I mean, Measure O was a very important solution to a number of problems in the area of public safety here in the community a few years back. And Measure O will be coming forward again to be voted on, you know, by the public over the next couple of years.
Is that this fall?
It'll be next fall.
So it's 14.
That's okay. Correct. And we'll need to be in a position to be able to address those that want to look at how we have spent Measure O monies, and so that we can send the message that we are responsible stewards of the public's money, especially in regards to Measure O, that we have tightened our belts, that we have been a good steward of those monies, and the city residents, the city citizens, to consider whether or not they want to continue with Measure O. And also, though, on the other hand, if for some reason that we don't get Measure O, a revision of Measure O, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared in case there are effects, negative effects from not having that kind of funding as we go forward. So either way, we need to be prepared and we need to reduce risk.
So that's number one.
So that
was number two.
Yeah, so that was one of the top ones. The
throw another dart. See what you hit.
Sure. Another one was a strategy, a post-redevelopment strategy. And really what that's about is that since the state has changed the law and has removed redevelopment as a tool for communities throughout California, we have to come up with a strategy to continue development projects here in our community and economic development in our community.
Do you think the community or even the state really understood what they were doing when they shot that one down?
I think that they understood the mechanics of it. I think that for each community, the effect was different, and I think they didn't understand the differences in the effects throughout the state with the various communities that had participated in this. But I think they knew. I think they knew mechanically precisely what they were doing.
KINS News and Information Times 319. You said a mouthful. We'll be back with more from Bill Panos.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If growing roses is a challenge for you in this climate, help is on the way. Sunday afternoon from 1 to 5, the Humboldt Rose Society will hold its 47th annual Rose Show at Redwood Acres. It will feature demonstrations on planting, maintenance, and pruning. Prizes will go to the best locally grown roses. There'll be a plant sale of roses chosen by the Society because they do well in our area. The show is free of charge. It'll have a special section for rose growers 18 or younger. And for young children, there'll be a kids' corner. As a dividend, heather enthusiasts of the Redwood Empire will also be on hand to display a variety of their favorite plant. So Sunday afternoon, take the family to the 47th Annual Rose Show at Redwood Acres. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and things that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 323. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Panos. Bill, we've been hearing an awful lot of discussion about the airport. You know, is it the Humboldt County? Is it Eureka Arcata? Is it this? Is it that? Is it Humboldt? Blah, blah, blah. Is it Humboldt Redwoods? Okay, the county made their decision. When you, kind of as a side interested viewer of this whole situation, were hearing about the discussions, what struck you out of it?
You know, the sense that I have about our airport and the differences, you know, I was here 25 years ago, and I was coming in and out of that airport pretty frequently. And I think there were two or three airlines that were moving in and out of that airport. And today, I believe there's only one. And the idea that we create the conditions within which airlines want to be back into this area is a great thing. So if there's one thing that struck me, it's that the people that are surrounding this issue are really committed to having more capacity at our regional airport, not just for Eureka and Humboldt Bay, but for our entire county. And so I think that that's a laudable goal, and I think that we should encourage them to continue to go down that path, because airlines are like any other business. You need to create the conditions within which they want to be here, and then they will come, and they will provide those kinds of services that our community needs as we move forward on our economic development strategy.
You mentioned economic development. That's where I was going to go with the follow-up on that. How critical is the cost of airfare? We hear $400 to $500 round trip to San Francisco. Okay, probably not going to get too many weekend jaunts into the Redwoods from the Bay Area at that kind of a price point. If it dropped, let's say it got cut in half, kind of like the good old days. It was $200. I know. To get here from there, whether San Francisco, Sacramento, or Oakland. What do you project? Or let's say it's 250 because it's $49 one way out of L.A. Let's say $300 out of L.A. to come up for the weekend. Do you think that's enough to move the economic needle to make things happen? And that being driven by a couple of different carriers so that the times were more convenient to get here and perhaps we avoid some of the fog bank issues. Would that be enough to see some discernible change?
I'm not sure that price is really a proper focus on this topic. I think that having goods movement, having people movement, having the ability to come in and out of this area in a fairly robust fashion is what we're talking about when we talk about economic development. It doesn't just mean airplanes coming in and out of here with people on them. It means trucks coming in and out of this area. It means cars coming in and out of this area. It means having a connected community to the rest of California, Oregon, and the rest of the nation. And if we can do that well through our airport and other means, then we have one of the foundations that we'll need to have in place to have a great economic development strategy.
Are you indicating an aggressiveness about straightening out Richardson's Grove?
I think that with all of our highways that come in and out of this area, we need to create the conditions within which it is economically and environmentally sustainable for businesses to not only be here, but grow here and for new businesses to come here. And so to the extent that we can improve our highway system, our airport, our ports, then we should do that. We should do that. And so, you know, if I think that's all, again, part of an economic development strategy as we go forward, and having a strong, sustainable goods movement strategy is part of that.
Does Eureka have one?
You know, I think that we have had some successes here. I think that we certainly had some successes in the past. Our port was pretty active. Our rail systems were pretty active. Our airport was pretty active. We had lots of trucks coming in and out of this area. I think that as the economy and as the technology changed, we may not have changed with it fast enough to be able to stay up with the world that was changing around us. And so I think I've said this before. One of the things that I've observed about our region is that we have all of the components here to be a world-class economy. We just sort of got stalled for some reason. And I think what we need to do as a region is unstall ourselves, put the fuel back in the engine, and get going forward. That's, by the way, just to bring it back to budget, that's what this budget is about as well, is to really put the fuel in the engine and get us moving forward again.
Refunding the redevelopment agency? Restructuring it? Retasking somebody? One of the things I think a lot of folks appreciate is if you have single focus or purpose, it's amazing what you can get done. Mm. You give me five targets, I'll probably end up shooting in between every bullseye and not hitting a single target.
Right.
Are you going to have somebody who's specifically tasked with economic development in the, well, let's say the greater Eureka area, so we don't hack off the neighbors?
Yes. But that's exactly what we're going to do. and have also somebody focused on development projects and moving them from beginning to the end so that we get those things done. And I think our city council, as I mentioned earlier, had done a great job at focusing through their strategic plan and our annual action plan, which we budgeted for. They've created that kind of focus that you just mentioned, and that will help our city focus and move forward as an organization.
Yeah, there's so many things I want to talk about right now, and I only got a minute. Update on the police chief hire.
We had 44 applicants as of the closing date. We got it down to 7 finalists, 2 dropped out. We have 5 finalists that we'll be interviewing on Monday.
Are any of them in the area?
3 of them are local. 2 of them are from California, but out of the area.
Okay. Apparently, you've been asked that question a couple of times.
Yes, sir.
Bam, 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 bam.
I have.
Would you think that... No, I can't ask that question because that might show bias. All right, I'll ask you during the break. Are you excited about all 5 of them?
I am. I'm very pleased with this candidate pool. And I'm pleased for the community, too.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said 1 minute because now you notice everything's like a 2-second response. I got, nah, never mind. We'll just take music to the top.
All right.
KINS, news and information time. It's 3:30. Enjoy the music. We'll be back.
Value and selection in new furniture and appliances are just the beginning of the reasons why more North Coast customers like you shop at Burns Furniture. This month, you'll find exceptional prices on the new iComfort mattress sleep system and sale prices on Englander mattresses. It's June, so recliners are on sale, and you'll want to see what's new on the 4 big floors of furniture and appliances at Burns. Get free delivery from Trinidad to Scotia when you buy at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, news and information time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop with Mr. Bill Panos from the city of Eureka. You're bobbing your head. I got the name right and the city right, huh?
I'm impressed.
Well, you know, it takes so much to impress you these days.
It does.
Yeah. Sure. Bill, when I heard the news that Arcata Fire District had decided to say, you know, maybe it is time to have a fire department that is around the bay. I can remember talking to 3 or 4 fire chiefs there, certainly a lot of them for Eureka also, and saying, you know, if it hadn't had the historical momentum, there's so many things we could do. Consolidation, certainly with the county fire district. Okay, that made sense. This seems like a natural extension off that. When you first heard of this happening, or the whispers of a potential that this might happen, were you excited about it?
Well, I'm a fan of Humboldt Bay Fire. I'm a fan of shared services in government. And, of course, I was very excited and continue to be. I think Arcata, the community of Arcata, needs to move through a decision-making process to decide how they want to provide fire services in the future. But we have a world-class fire department with a great staff and a great chief, and we're always in a position to be able to consider helping another community in their need to provide services for a cost-effective manner. So we are very very interested in this.
It seems really just a logical extension. I'm curious to talk to Ken next week and see, you know, with the all the twinkles and the smiles, but to see where this thing came from, because I looking at it with about a 40-year horizon, Arcata Volunteer is still very healthy. Yeah. Eureka Volunteer, not so much so. Yeah. Well, boy, if part of this is a byproduct of it all is to have a real strong paid staff, professional staff, and to have a real strong and prolific volunteer staff, doesn't every community around here really come out as a winner?
Yeah, I'll let the chief kind of get into the detail about it, but I'm a fan.
Simple yes would have sufficed. But
yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah.
Elaborate, sir.
Yeah, but I'm a fan, and the council's a fan. I mean, they really do support this idea of shared services in government. All of us are trying to do more with less. We continue to struggle with that each and every year, especially at budget time, and we're always looking for an opportunity to help one another.
Does that go into the dispatch room, too?
It's in everything. I mean, it's in we do a lot of that now with mutual aid and and all the memorandums of understanding, the idea, and it's not just in services, it's also in infrastructure, how we share and how we share costs of infrastructure, those kinds of things. We have a great track record in the water area, the wastewater area, the police area, the fire area. So so it makes sense in all of those areas, including dispatch and other things. So we're going to let those people that are most capable at evaluating those things go through it and figure out if it makes sense. And but we're supportive and certainly are there to help.
Are there other areas that you're kind of looking at going, you know, it's too bad we're all not on the same wavelength about something? Are there other, I don't want to say low-hanging fruit because that's not really fair, because you know, there's a whole bunch of different decision processes that have to be made before any decision actually comes to fruition. But are there other areas of either consolidation or mutual aid or services, other departments that really haven't been thought of in our area? Just to hack somebody off, how about Parks and Rec? What if we had Parks and Rec that was consolidated and it was Fortuna, Eureka, and Arcata and McKinleyville all together with our Parks and Rec departments?
Like a regional district or something?
Kind of thing. So you got one person organizing all the softball leagues and one person handling the basketball and the coordination of this park and that park and just having everybody on the same wavelength. So you don't have, for example, three softball tournaments at the same time in the county and you can't find the rooms because nobody bothered to talk to one another.
Yeah, I think a lot of that sort of operational coordination is going on, but I do think you make a good point, and it is what I had said before, which is it applies when it can apply to various kinds of government services, then we should look at it, and we should be open to the idea of sharing, of helping one another, of sharing the limited resources that we have available to provide the same or greater level of service to the communities that we're trying to serve. When we can do that effectively, I think that everybody wins. I think the other thing I would say in light of what you just asked is, I don't look at it so much as areas. I look at it as areas of opportunity, of cooperation, areas where we can cooperate a lot more and move things forward more than we would have otherwise done if we had not cooperated. So, you know, and there's a lot of that. I mean, everything about resource protection and environmental management, the whole Humboldt Bay and the concept of the bay and an integrated approach to the bay, the whole idea that we were just speaking about goods movement and the idea of improving our economy, all of those things will take a coordinated effort amongst a lot of different jurisdictions, a lot of different nonprofits, and a lot of different interests to be able to come together for the good of the region, for the good of families in this region, for the good of creating family wage jobs so that we can have a future, not just for ourselves, but for our children and our children's children. And that will take a lot of cooperation. And so is there an opportunity to do that in our region? Absolutely.
With the budget, it hasn't been adopted yet, has it?
It's adopted on June 18th.
Okay, so coming around the corner halfway quick. Are there any cutbacks? Are there savings that are being recognized because of this different approach that are highlighted in that document?
Yeah, we're reducing the number of our departments from 9 to 7 departments. We actually went from 9 to 6, but we're actually separating our Park and Rec department out from Public Works. So 9 to 7. We're actually going to be reducing the number of boards and commissions from 12 to 10, and we're looking at a couple of others. And also, we're reducing the number of staff that we have at the city from about 484 to 470. None of those are full-time reductions, full-time equivalent. None of them are in public safety. They're really about temporary workers or a retire, rehire, or something like that, where we have an opportunity to have some of our temporary workers and some of our retiree hire folks train others, our full-time equivalent, and let those full-time employees sort of move forward, move up in the organization and really realize their development potential. And so I think this is going to help us move forward. I mean, this is the idea of the budget, is really finishing what we started, moving forward, leaning forward, and this will help us move forward and really achieve the council's goals that they really took a lot of time to work on over this last spring.
KINS, News and Information, Times 343. We'll be back with more from Bill Panos.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop. Just a couple remaining sizzling minutes with Bill Panos.
You like sizzling.
That? Sizzle. Yeah. That's always a fun word for me. Sizzle.
It is nice outside, but it's not that hot.
No. It was really hot up on Neyland, though, this morning.
Was it?
Yeah. We were up there doing some little bit of work. So for everybody who's listening now that was listening to Rush and heard the, that was me. Lost Coast Brewery, Bill. Are they going to be able to get that thing going? I keep seeing a huge regional manufacturing facility, big dollars, lots of trucks moving in and out of the area, all that economic stuff you were talking about. But I was seeing that one a year and a half ago, too. And we still have got the field. What's going on with that development? Can you speak to it specifically? Do you have any general sense of how that one's progressing?
Progressing really well. Barbara Groom's team and our city team are meeting on a weekly basis and moving that project forward. She's an amazing person with an amazing product and an amazing organization. And our council is absolutely committed to doing all that we can to not only have her be here, but have her thrive here, have that organization thrive here. And so we've assigned three or four department heads as project managers, and they're working on the various aspects of the project to get it out as quickly as we can. And it's going very well. And we have challenges. There always will be challenges when you have a facility of this scale. And a facility that that needs to get running as quickly as possible, you will always have that, and so we do. But we're working through that, and we're working through it in a very focused way to make sure she gets on the ground as quickly as possible.
How much do the detractors impact a project like that?
We need to consider everyone's sort of opinion and position and input when we do these projects. But we also need to get the projects done. And so we do both. And we make adjustments constantly. I call it pivoting. We constantly pivot through the project to ensure that we listen to the community, we listen to the clients, we listen to our staff, and we make those adjustments as we go through the project. And so we're doing that constantly, and it's an important part of the process.
30 seconds. What are you doing this weekend? I thought I'd surprise them.
Yeah, that is a surprise. I'm going to be going to a couple of fundraising events, which I usually go to on the weekends, starting with one tonight. And I'm going to actually try and walk my dog on the beach.
Really?
Yeah, at Samoa Beach.
It's not that tough. I'll just let you know.
It's like 5 minutes away. It's really close.
No, I'm at the dog walking part.
Oh, I just let him
just
off the leash.
Remember your bag. Oh, you're one of those. Oh, fine. Well, we're going to have a little conversation after the program. This one's now done. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
Deer in the headlight next door, right here, right now. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.